All right, well, I think I'll just dive in, huh?
Yep.
All right, welcome everybody. Good to see you. Hi, little Mary. Just woken up from her nap. Very sweet. Hey, so today's focus is on the creative process. But before we get going with that, we just wanted to do a quick check-in. So how are you showing up to the call? And what's on your mind? What are you bringing to the call? So just like two sentences, not long, but let's hear everybody's voice. And a check-in is also a good time just to say, you know, well, I have to leave early, or I've got a lot on my mind, or I'm feeling stressed, or I'm feeling happy, or something amazing happened today. It's like a temperature check. When you join a meeting and someone does a check-in, it just lets everybody else hear your voice and know a bit about what's going on for you as you come into the room. And then I wanted to do a quick, or we wanted to do a quick teaching about creativity, because that's at the heart of the course. And in a way, it's our, you know, the school's solution, if you will, to the world's problems is grounded in creative work, you know, grounded in the creative work of all of you. So we'll do that, and then we'll just have a dialogue about where you are and what you are working on and how you're thinking about your own creative work and how we can best support you. Is that good? So let's do a check-in. Anyone can start. Just dive in.
I'll start.
For the call. Good.
I'm Sue Barnum. I think I've met you all, and I know my daughter and my son and my daughter-in-law. I'm fairly stressed over this racial situation. It's been a passion of mine since I was in third grade, and I've been tearful a lot, and I'm still working on class two and module one, and I'm thinking constantly, how can this apply to what's going on right now? The thinking is so stuck in something that cannot, will not work. And I'm reading a lot online about people's ideas and thoughts, but it's no different than what we've been talking about since I was in college. You know, and I'm 75 years old, and it's the same story, and it's so frustrating. Then 1,250 Black people have died at the hands of the police in 4 years. And it's just nauseous, makes me nauseous. So that's one thing, that's just my check-in. My creative practice, I'm getting back into watercolor. I'm planning to teach a class for the children age 9 to 14 at the temple this summer online. And I've ordered supplies, and I'm excited about teaching them about mixing colors, and there are no mistakes and negative space and all that fun stuff, you know. So that's my creativity is functioning, but my heart is breaking at the same time. That's my check-in.
Thanks, Mom.
Who's going next?
I'll jump in. Thanks for sharing, Sue. yeah, I am also sitting with the challenges and pain of our time, and looking within myself and within my community as to how and where I can be of service and how I can just like noticing my own impulses to like point a finger at what I think is the problem, or other people's thinking that I think is wrong, and like really trying to figure out, like, that doesn't feel like the way to go about this creatively, like from what I've learned, but I'm trying to find the alternative approach, you know, to having conversations that bridge people who feel very divided. And I'd say, like, within my family and friends, I have a lot of people who are see themselves as very divided and on very opposite ends of the spectrum. So I feel like I want to be a bridge in some way, and just navigating like how to do that. So that's been really present for me. And happy to be here on the call.
Thank you, Rachel. Welcome.
Okay, I'll go. Jonathan, go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. I'm also happy to be on the call today. It feels very heavy, you know, today especially feels very, very heavy. It's almost, I feel like panicky. I feel, you know, just not like myself. My uncle is having some health problems, and I just recently had a family member pass away, and it's just like the things keep coming, and that's part of life. And it really I almost feel like I just want to shut down because it feels like too much. But you know, I feel like being on this call is an awesome, you know, start to working through that, some of that stuff. And creatively, I've been working on with the course, I've been working on the closed loops worksheet. I just worked on that a few hours ago, and it was I definitely saw where I'm struggling in my personal and professional life with procrastination and these loops that I keep playing, you know, with myself and not doing the work and then thinking about it all night before I go to bed. And it makes you wonder why I do these things. But when you start looking into the worksheet, it starts, you know, it gives you like a kind of like a timeline of, okay, this is what's happening. This is why this is happening, and kind of gives a reasoning to it, which is nice. And I learned a lot. And through that process, I also went back to the Creativist worksheet, and I redid all of it because I was looking at my answers and I was like, this doesn't sound right. Like, it, you know, so it's evolving every day, and how I feel about these things is evolving, which is a good sign. And, you know, I've also been doing the art journaling, which is really cool. I haven't done as much as I probably should, but I also just bought some watercolors at the store. So I'd love to hear more about your watercolors too. And I also do regular journaling as well from time to time. And then I think to talk about the race-based upheaval and stuff, it seems like we've been talking about the same thing for these years, just like Sue was saying. It's like we keep, throughout her whole life, they've been talking about the same things. And I hear like on MSNBC, and I don't watch that stuff, but my grandparents do. And it drives me crazy because everyone's looking to the lawmakers to fix this, and it's not a lawmaker issue that, I mean, we do need things fixed in the law system, but it's like we're still looking to the wrong places to fix these issues, mm-hmm. You know, and it's just, it's sickening. I mean, it's sickening that that's the consciousness of everyone, that we're still, it's not everyone's consciousness, but, you know, that's where we're at with the media, and that's what's being spewed out there, you know, and it really feels like, in 5 seconds, we've gone from C virus to this, and it's a lot to take in, you know, it's really crazy. So just, you know, thinking about that and trying to move forward will be interesting. So I'm glad to be here. And yeah, so.
Cool. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Fitzy. I was writing something down.
If you're ready to go, if you're ready to go, go ahead. Otherwise.
No, no, I'm good. I too have had a, today seems a little lighter, but yesterday was a really heavy, heavy day. I've had a child homesick, child being a 19-year-old child, but still, he started off with a really, really high fever. And so he's quarantining at my house and got the COVID test. And it's like life is frozen until we get that back, even though I knew it wasn't COVID. Like my gut knew it wasn't COVID. And the more I talked to him, the more I knew it was strep throat. And he got on the antibiotics for strep throat and is totally fine. But the world around us is pretty much shut down until we get that test. He's like too nervous to leave his room, and the upstairs air conditioning went out. So last night he finally came out and went into the downstairs TV room so he could be cool, because I'm in San Antonio and it was like 78 upstairs, which inside a house is really hot. So that's what's going on inside my home. And then all the stuff going on outside in the world just kind of has me pinging like this inside of a box. And I'm used to only having my kids half of the time, so I really have a different rhythm on days that they're here and days that they're gone. And having him home and quarantined, and I gotta, you know, take him food and take him drinks, and I've been completely out of rhythm, and I feel completely out of rhythm. So that's my check-in. And I keep thinking about art journaling, but when you come from a family of Jeff Barnum and Sue Barnum and Dan Barnum, who was a fabulous architect, and I can barely draw a stick figure, my creative outlets have been landscaping my yard, which I'm good at, picking paint colors and decorating houses. That has been a skill set, using for very little money, because that is a skill. And yet my palette of my home is, it's all done. And the palette of my yard, it's all done. So it's time for me to pick up the art journal that's sitting on the corner of my desk glaring at me every day. And I'm sure I have lots of art supplies that would love to be used. But the intimidation factor is a big block like this. In between me, between here and here, and the art journal. Mm-hmm. So.
Did I miss a piece? Did you talk about art journaling when I wasn't here? Or is that in the course that I haven't gotten to yet?
It will be in the course. And Iron is a very proficient art journaler. And
I know. Talk about intimidating.
Well, she's going to help structure and design a piece of Module 4, which is all about creativity, focused on art journaling.
She's right there, by the way. She's art journaling on the floor.
She's upstairs doing art journaling for at least 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
And I think you told Jonathan about art journaling. You're right. So that's how Jonathan got art journaling. So this is all still to come. This is all down the way.
Well, I'm trying to get back to my art journaling.
And another thing is that I am teaching a little workshop with the agency that I work for. So that's something that I'm working on structuring now. It's like a probably an hour long thing. So I'm doing some work on that now. So I can share that with everyone, because that'll be a super simple, like, this is how.
Are you going to join this meeting?
No, I'm just saying hello.
Yeah, do you want to do your check-in or something?
Yeah, just saying that. That's part of what's coming. Yeah.
Okay. Can we join your workshop?
Well, she's gonna run part of our course.
Also that. She's gonna run that part of our course, but that doesn't come until module 4.
Okay.
We're trying to kickstart you guys a bit early.
With these conversations.
Yeah.
Eloise has been talking to me about art journaling.
It's true.
Yeah. So, thanks everyone for your check-in. I wanted to just do a quick teaching. We're recording this call, by the way. So there were some people who wanted to join today. For example, Mila over in Switzerland. She's wanted to join for the last couple of weeks, but her father-in-law is on his deathbed in Suriname.
Oh, no.
So her husband, Michael, has been trying to get to Suriname, but he can't get a flight and the country's closed. So they're actually putting him on a cargo plane, it looks like.
No way.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to put him on a cargo plane. So they're finding a way for him to get to Suriname by, you know, hella high water.
Oh, wow.
We also recently had a call with Sue Adams and Luke Edwards, who are members of the school from Singapore and Australia, respectively. And this time zone doesn't work for them. So we're also doing a Tuesday afternoon at 5:30 Pacific call for them every 2 weeks. And they're also getting their creative practices going. Luke is songwriting, and Sue is learning to do visual art alongside her other practices of yoga and body work and things like that. So I wanted to just talk for a few minutes, if it's okay, about why creativity, because I think most of you know it, but let's put it on record and let's have a conversation about it. But I think for Louisa and me, one of the challenges of getting the school going is how to talk about such esoteric things as consciousness development and source and shadow transformation to the particular audience that we want to reach, which are the people who are devoted their lives to some kind of social and cultural change. And building the bridge between consciousness and, say, change work has been a real challenge for us the last few years, because there's tons of people interested in consciousness, there's tons of people interested in change work, but there's building that bridge to, you know, why work on your consciousness? Well, it's not only so that you don't trip over yourself when you're in high stakes situations, that's one of the reasons. The other reason is that you unlock the spiritual potential of the human archetype, the human being, the human soul and spirit, which practically means, as far as sort of we're in that process of figuring out what that means, what that really means is creative power, creative potential, at its most fundamental sense, the ability to think and feel and do and perceive and be in an unhabitual a way that you haven't learned by rote, by habit, by inheritance, but that's coming from a fresh and present place. And so that is at the heart of this course. And so by putting creativity in the middle of it, it's a palatable, or you could say an exoteric way to work on an esoteric truth. All right? And so...
say that again.
It's an exoteric way or kind of a mainstream way to present and work on a profound and esoteric or spiritual truth, right? Because if you can have a dialogue about creativity, you can't go very far without going in, right? Without talking about the inner world and consciousness and the cultivation of the presence of mind and what that all means. So in the course, there's kind of two ways into creativity. One is through inner work, and the other one is through creative work. And so I just wanted to share that I'm writing an article. I talked with Louisa about this morning, and she said, okay, share this on the call. So I'm writing an article imagining what would it, if we want to be a creative society, right? If we actually want to have other options other than those that have been recycled in the last three generations of our culture, if we want to come up with relevant, present, connected, perceptive, wise reactions and responses to our challenges, then we have to be more of a creative society, right? And so in this article, I began to draw a parallel and say, well, imagine how many people in this world exercise every day, just as a matter of staying fit, physically healthy, right? Probably most or all of us on this call, millions and millions of people around the world fit that into their lives. And only a very small percentage of them are professional athletes, right? But exercise belongs to us all. And somehow when it comes to art, we have a very small number of professional artists. But imagine if those same proportions applied in art, that we had most of us making art as part of our life, as part of the way that we stay creatively fit. Just imagine a society or a world in which art is common. And what would that mean for our places of work, right? What does someone who makes art as a regular practice take into their place of work, their place of business, their profession? What do they take into their relationships at work? Their teams, dialogues they have, the perspectives they can share, right? Because art grounds the mind and the soul in a perpetual practice of dialogue, a perpetual practice of uncertainty, of discovery, of learning, of curiosity. It's like our childhood condensed into a very potent moment in our lives where we're practicing our intuitive, perceptual curiosity, childlike curiosity. It really is a place where we enter a purity that is otherwise very hard to access in life, because it's not instrumental, it's not driven, it's not linear. It's rich with unknowns and with reverberations of color, sound, meaning, of culture, of history. And so what does that person bring into their profession, right? They bring in the equivalent of like a fresh source. So in nature, where we have like a stagnant lake, what happens to that water? It just turns putrid, right? And lakes are only alive if they have a fresh source in and out. Or a garden where you have that soil. You can just grow food, but you'll deplete that soil. And what came up in my article that I'm writing is it's the same with the mind and the soul for a human being, right? What are you doing to replenish the source of fresh ideas, fresh thinking, fresh perspectives, fresh feeling, fresh abundance, fresh energy? And, you know, while the world falls apart around us, to a lot of people, that conversation would seem tangential or ancillary or secondary, right? Because we've got to fix the thing that's happening. But to your point, Mom, earlier, you know, we keep trying to fix the things that are happening with a stagnant pool of social and cultural resources.
Nicely put.
And so then in the article, I want to imagine, well, what does that person bring into their home life, into their relationships, to their kids? And what are they bringing to their extended families? And so I began to, what I want to put on the table a little bit is, if we want a creative society, just like if we want a physically fit society, right? If we want a physically fit society, there are certain habits and things that people have to choose to do. They have to be encouraged. They have to be normalized. And art making, like in the Waldorf schools in Montessori, and for every child, Art making is the physical fitness of the soul and the mind. It's the most concentrated place of being a creative being. So for the school and for us on this call, what I want to encourage is you to think about art making as everyday, as exercise. It's just normal. Mm-hmm. It's not special. It's not, you know, yeah, there are professional artists. You know, even if you exercise, you don't feel the pressure to be like, oh, I've got to be like a long distance marathon runner. I've got to be like Michael Jordan if I'm going to pick up a basketball. That's not the way we think about physical exercise, right? So when you think about your art practice, you don't need to be Picasso or, you know, Hemingway or Mozart or Shakespeare. Yeah, those people are important. They exist. But this is really about nurturing for yourself, but also for those around you, in your family, in your place of business, the replenishment of culture, the replenishment of dialogue, of relationship. And art is a focused place where you do for the mind and the soul and perception and your imagination and your presence exactly, or, you know, metaphorically, you do for those inner and intangible parts of your being what you do for your physical body when you eat well and you exercise and get fresh air and get nature. So that was just a little bit of sort of teaching or offering that I wanted to make. And I wanted just to see if how that lands for you, or what comes up for you, what sparks for you. And, you know, maybe we could go in the opposite order last time, you know, so maybe Betsy, if you want to start, or Jonathan. If not, if you want to simmer for a bit, that's okay. But just like, if anything comes up in y'all about, okay, what does that mean? How does that land? Then I thought we could do a little sharing on that. And then after that, we're going to focus on, well, what is a practice? Because there's lots of different kinds of practice, right? And we want to have a little bit of time for just talking about, you know, getting a practice going. So let's make this next round just kind of quick. I'll say hi to Tim. Tim's just joining us. Hey, Tim. Welcome. Can you hear us?
Hey there.
Hey.
I don't know why I can't hear you. My tech today has been too much.
Yeah, so we've done a check-in. I just finished a little monologue about the importance of art in today's world as an inner fitness for creative replenishment of relationship and life. And people are going to just share what's coming up for them. So you're kind of joining us mid-flow, but welcome.
Thank you. Sorry, my client meeting went so long.
No worries.
Can we just do a quick check-in, Tim? So just to do a bit of a temperature check, see how you're coming into the call, and then we'll open it up to the others.
You're on mute, Tim.
Sure. I think I'm mostly well, definitely learning to surf the apocalypse. So the waves are strong, but I think my surfboard is strong too. Is that a clear picture?
Sure.
Yeah, good.
Thanks, good. Man. Welcome.
Okay, so my first response to what you were saying, Jeff, is that I guess in my head, the creativity or creative outlet is more like painting or drawing, or, you know, like Iron's amazing art journals. I hadn't really thought about it in terms of the writing that I do. I do like that you said that there are two ways into creativity, through inner work. And so I know I've been exploring that part very thoroughly for the past however many years. But I also do know that my life would be enhanced by developing a skill that I don't think I have very well as compared to others. So I'm more interested in, like, I can't wait to hear what you have to say next after we all check in.
Cool. Thanks, Bets. Any other thoughts sparked for you on these ideas?
I feel like when you were talking about showing up, you were talking about, you know, doing that every day and showing up for yourself. But also, it seems, and I was doing some different, like, shamanic healing sessions with, it's like this group that meets every Friday. And he also was talking about, you know, as you're coming into these sessions, you're not just showing up for yourself, but you're showing up for your family, your friends, your neighbors, everyone in your life, because at the end of the day, you're changing your mindset, changing some parts about you that, you know, need to evolve and change. And I think it's the same thing with the artwork. You know, it's if you do that, it's going to change your relationships, change your, and thinking of it as working out. I mean, I try to work out most days, and if I would just set aside time to do the artwork each day, then that would be, you know, a good starting point with that, I think. So that was a good analogy that you made, and I never thought about it like that. So very cool.
Rachel, are you ready, or can I jump in right quick?
Go ahead. She's on mute.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my heart is still beating fast. When I hear you talk, I know what happens when I'm making art. But I'd never thought about it as replenishment for my mind and soul. I think of my meditation practice as that, but I never thought about my art practice and my the creative things that I do. And, you know, I've been writing before we started this call on my watercolor course for my kids, and I just figured out what I'm going to teach them about. I mean, this is amazing. I just hadn't thought of it like that. I mean, I've heard you talk. I'm sure I've heard you say that before, but I've never made the connection. And thank you.
Yeah, I similarly thought as Betsy thought about, like, writing practice versus. I'm going to stop my video because my internet's not very good. So that, I think you might be able to hear me better. Yeah, I thought about writing practice, which is probably the most regular creative practice I have right now. And just thought about what could be added to that and expanded. And then my mind still goes to, like, wanting to like jump ahead to a solution, you know, like my mind goes to, like, okay, so say I started writing, like, more visually creative practice, and, like, how does that get me to the answer of bridging this divide, or, like, how does that, like, what's the solution, you know? And I know that the solution is gonna, like, emerge. And so it's a process, but yeah, that's just my experience and what comes up for me as I listen.
Tim, I have a question for Tim, but I'll ask him in a second.
Yeah, ask
Tim. Hey Tim, since you were joining us late, the context of the last few minutes has been, If we imagine a society where as many people who work out but aren't professional athletes also have a creative practice, whether that's writing or dance or knitting or sculpture or painting, if it was normal, like it is at a Waldorf school, right? If we make a leap of imagination and imagine that creative practice was normal for a society, what would that bring into their place of business? What would that bring into their place of family life, their institutions? What would it mean for us in a time when as my mom said half an hour ago when we started, we keep seeing the same crises play out and we keep having the same answers. Right? And if we're going to have a creative society, where do we cultivate that creativity that could more effectively address the challenges of, you know, being human together at scale, large scales? So that was a bit of a context, but from you, you know, I'd love to hear just where your creative practice is, how you're thinking about it, what's sparking for you as you come into the call regarding this life of the mind and the soul that's continuously asking questions, is continuously in dialogue with creative medium. And I just want to open it up to you, if you, you know, since you joined late, that's some of the terrain that we're on right now.
Yeah, thanks for taking the extra time. Hopefully it's not draining anyone else.
Oh, not at all, man. Good.
Yeah, I think, I mean, as a designer and builder and team co-creator, I'm constantly reminding everyone that every act is an act of creation, and that I think that's the biggest piece that is a missing link as far as what it means to be conscious of the creative actions that we're taking all the time. And like, so becoming conscious of that, I think, really shifts our awareness of what we are creating and then what we put into what we're creating together. And as far as my individual practice, as far as solo art, it's become more and more of a practice of listening to what's trying to become. And that takes shape in pottery and poetry and in conversation as a artistic practice.
You know, many of y'all don't know Tim well yet, but I have this great memory of Tim when I was on a building project that he was leading, of him leading an exercise where we were working on a house and we were all kind of, we'd looked at the perimeter, it was a bare piece of land. We'd walked the perimeter, we'd gotten into the materials and there was some straw and some mud and clay and stones, and we were all imagining what this thing was going to look like. We built little models. And I remember Tim's model was just obviously the simplest, the most elegant, and it was just this humble little piece of beauty that he held up, and it was just like, that's it. And I have a great memory of you, Tim, just your in a creative process when you're working and you're struggling and something so pure happens where you just say, oh, that's it. It just reveals itself. And Tim is one person who's had the privilege and the luck and good fortune to work with natural materials for decades, right? And that means hands in the mud, and straw and clay and wood, and thinking about how these things go in physical reality to create healing spaces and aesthetic spaces on time, within, maybe not on time, maybe not always within budget, but what house is, but as a house, as a part of life where art meets utility. So he brings with him a wealth of kind of that intersection of business, creative work, co-design, leadership, client need, and producing something that has soul. So that's just a little bit of background about Tim.
Tim, you go. What's your response?
No, it's not really valuable. Go for yours.
Okay. So I remember that experience too, but it was very brief for me because Iron was 6 months old at the time, and I was very taken up with that whole brand new experience. But I do remember I remember that bare plot of land and everything. Anyway, the thing I wanted to say actually was just in response to something that Rachel said. And that is that I've been on both sides of a creative journey. One side is training to become a professional musician, and the other side is as a rank beginner. I'm still in the rank beginner phase in certain of my art practices, which we'll touch on later. And my experience is absolutely the same in both spaces. And that is that there is no you cannot arrive at an answer or a goal. You're always, it's not about the destination. It's about the journey. And more importantly, it's about how you engage and how you choose to engage with the journey at every moment, every day, and sort of recommitting, even if you don't feel like it, even if you don't have what you need or what you think you need, like studio, practice space, equipment, materials, doesn't matter. Doing it every day and the building of capacity over a long period of time, because it's a long-term thing. There's no short-term gains, really. It's something that it's like a flywheel. You do it every day, and over time you start to experience the flywheel nature of a practice that is consistent and regular.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking, if we were doing this in person, you know, which is one of my big dreams, is to have this school in person and have little dialogues and little teams and little people going off and doing things and sharing their experience. I mean, that's where I want to get to, mm-hmm. because it's just an experience. Mm-hmm. Well, so in the few minutes that we have left, if it's helpful, I wanted to just share some thoughts, or maybe we can just share some questions that about starting or getting that flywheel of a creative practice going. So I've prepared a few thoughts, but I want to keep it short and concise to open it up for others and your questions. Would that be a good use of our last 15 minutes?
Yes.
Yeah. So just to build on what you're saying, right, and to build on what I said about you, Tim, I hope you don't mind my saying those things about you. I know from my own experience and knowing other artists that the more you do, the more you know you have yet to do. And so the further you go, the further your horizon extends. And you go like, man, I'm almost 50 years old and I've barely begun. Right? And that's what Michelangelo said when he was 80. It was like, I'm just beginning. So this is a place in life where there's not only no destination, but it's like you enter a path and the path continues to open, right? There's more and more and more uncharted territory, which is amazing, because the more you do, the better you get, the more you can see that path, and the further you have to go. So the flywheel is also, it's a garden that you continually nourish, and it continually spins out paintings. My house is full of paintings, and I'm, you know, visual art obviously leaves its traces, unlike musical art, which you play and then it's silent. But if you're doing anything that leaves its traces, whether it's writing or drawing or painting or building, the creative practice itself is this sort of flywheel that every once in a while something flies off it and lands, and people call it a work, a thing. And getting that going is, in a certain sense, more important than the thing. Mm-hmm. And because the things that come out of it, some are going to be good and some are going to be bad, right? Not every painting that I make is as good as every other painting. And some of them are frankly terrible, and I sand them down and I restart. So part of crossing that barrier, Betsy, is just the motion and the discipline without, and getting over that outcome mindset, which is hard, but that's the flywheel, right? You write 10 ideas, you do 10 drawings, you do 10 paintings, you build 10 buildings. Some of them are going to be kind of okay. Some of them are going to be kind of bad. Few of them are going to be amazing. One of them is going to be great. Something like that. You know, there's a spread. So The only other idea that I had to put on the table was about what is an art practice? And I will suggest that a lot of things that we do in life are creative. So I talk to people about meditation sometimes and they say, well, running is my meditation. Well, yeah, running is kind of like a dilute form of meditation because you get out, you're not focused on your work and your computer and everything, and your mind expands. But it's very dilute compared to, say, 15 to 30 minutes of concentrated meditation where your mind is focused. That is way more concentrated. And so in an art practice, there's that concentration where you take away everything else and you're in that zone. And so if you, as the weeks go by here, if you allow yourself to discover where that zone is, right? And to your point, Rachel, and to Louise's point, that is the goal, is to be in that zone. And stuff happens there. Stuff happens there that you don't control, you don't predict. It opens you to being in dialogue with the source of inspiration, sources of inspiration. So I just want to put those two ideas on the table, the flywheel, picking up from what you say, and this dialogue without expectation of outcome, right? This concentrated dialogue. And entertain the possibility of, in the next few weeks and months as we roll out these modules, concentrating your creative practice to see what happens, to begin that dialogue and get that flywheel going. So any questions or anything that we can say or talk about that would help you really get that practice going or think about having a practice or choosing a practice? You know, what comes up for you?
I'm ready to go up to the art studio and start.
Oh, you're going to go get going now. Good for you.
But I'm also continuing my practice to write. So I don't know how that's going to, I don't know if I'm going to write and do art every day. I don't know. I'll have to see. Or do both.
Is the suggestion to take up a new art form so that we can cross that divide of creating in a space that we're not familiar, to like start mapping our process with that? Or is it just to get the practice of being a creator again really ongoing?
I think more the second, you know. With you, it might be taking up a new practice because you've got creative disciplines, but maybe building is so tied to your business that sculpture or drawing, I don't know. So it may be both for you, but I think in general, just the latter, getting that going, what is it like for you to think about getting that going? I mean, for you, Tim, I want to see your paintings and your sculptures. And your drawings or your poetry, you know.
Betsy?
Yes. I was just going to say, well, I'll work on the writing every day. And then maybe a couple times a week we'll branch off into the I think I'd like painting more than drawing. No, I know I like painting more than drawing. Mm-hmm. Drawing, I freeze. Painting, I think I could just play.
Betsy, yeah. I wanted to say too, I started out, Iron showed me, I'm not very artistic either, to be honest. I took like one art class in high school and it wasn't very good. But Iron showed me how to do like collages. So I was just taking like magazines and clipping them up and just, you know, and I can send you maybe like two of the ones I've done, but it's actually pretty fun. And all you need is like blue scissors, and that's a good way to start. And you don't have to like come up with the, you know, the drawing or the ideas, you know, it's easier. So.
Yeah. Thanks.
That's a great. Great suggestion. It's totally true.
Thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate that.
Yeah. You're welcome.
It's actually what I'm doing in my art journal. I'm taking my old works of art and writing on them, something they remind me of, or writing something about my life, or, you know, just making a collage that pops out of nowhere. I showed Betsy one the other day. Just whatever comes, and the writing and the art making really kind of go together, considering what I'm writing right now. So, but the collage is so appealing. I love that. And then iron paints on hers, and I'll figure out how to do that.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that.
I have to start with one of my paintings and go from there.
Yeah, that sounds good.
You know, one of the things that's coming up for me just while listening to you guys is this concept of creative confidence. So when you delve into something that you're not used to, practiced at, or have any experience with, the threshold that you're crossing is actually about confidence, not about knowledge or experience. And one of the, I think the core capabilities of having an art practice really isn't about competency with the material. It's about having the confidence to try. And if you can think about the building of confidence, then when you go into any situation with any medium in your life, what you bring with you is creative confidence, you know, trust in yourself. I know I can find a creative way forward because I am practiced at being confident.
Good thought.
Yeah, that's really good because it's all about that confidence. I mean, anything you undertake, you have to have that initial boost, you know?
Yes, courage.
Yeah.
As we go, as we do module 4 and beyond, we'll get into the mechanics of that and the archetypes of that and the movements of that and support you to really map it out and see, okay, this is how it works and how to experience that and transfer your learning from, say, art journaling or writing or art practice to any other domain.
Like the social realm, for instance. Yes.
Right.
Rachel, any thoughts from you? Not pressuring you, just wondering.
I like that last thought about crossing the threshold, and my comment earlier about like the goal, it was not so much the goal of like the piece of what I'm making, but the goal of like, how does this help me in other spheres and other domains, you know? So it's not like, where am I going to get to with this piece I'm writing or this painting, but like, now how is that going to help me like fix the problems of the world? That's kind of where my mind was going.
Gotcha.
That piece of creative confidence, like, I think helps shine a light on a part of that. I know that that's not the whole picture of what it's building, but yeah, that's helpful to keep in mind. And it's really good. I actually had set this like intention of like doing artwork with my son this summer to help build his confidence around his art work, and not really thinking about it as a practice for myself, but just sitting side by side with him and showing him like, I know I don't really know how to do any of this either, and trying to help him build that confidence. So it's good to think about that as a practice for all of us.
Yeah.
Cool.
And interestingly, that is the thing that is going to help him gain confidence is your modeling of your facing the threshold of a lack of confidence and how you handle the crossing of that threshold.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Hey, well, let's end on time, huh?
Yeah.
Because we've got to know one more minute. So let's just do a quick round of checkouts about what you're taking with you from this call, or you know, just one sentence or a few words about how you feel as you roll out of here into those surfing those next waves of the apocalypse.
I feel more confident.
Going on.
And I feel hope.
I feel thrilled inspired to be a part of the group and to get to see baby Mary.
Yeah. I'm excited to get to know each of you and see what you create and do and bring into the world as we travel together in the next year or so.
And just building on that, I encourage you to share your little creations, whatever they might be, on the community platform. Sometimes artwork, however humble, however, you know, simple, finds its completion in the actual sharing.
What do you call that? The community platform?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, the school community.
Okay. Okay, that's going to take some courage, but I can do that.
I'll upload some of my stuff that I've done to, like, the collages and the, you know, the watercolors, stuff like that.
That'd be wonderful. Love to see it.
Thank you, guys.
Jonathan and Tim, how are you guys checking out?
You know, I feel a lot better. I mean, I came into this call not even really wanting to do it because it just feels like it's a lot. Even just open the computer screen sometimes, you know, and it's. But I always feel better after it. So I know this is only the second time, but I do get a lot out of this. So thank you guys for that.
Yeah,
welcome.
Yeah, I'm feeling grateful and confident.
Yeah.
Yeah. In collaboration of forces much greater than me.
Right.
Yeah.
I loved that analogy of surfing the waves of the apocalypse, Tim.
I do too.
That's going to be something that, you know, you have a good surfboard. I really like that. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, and the surfboard needs repair from time to time too. But yeah, remembering not to abandon the surfboard to be able to try and survive it. That's the key.
Yeah.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
All right.
You know, Rachel hasn't checked
out. Oh, good. Rachel hasn't checked out.
Oh, I feel inspired and grateful for today's call.
Well, Rachel, let's see you around here pretty soon with Kale and Mary.
Just so we can get our hands on the babies.
Yeah. And we'll be catching up with the rest of you offline and see you next week if you show up. Soon we'll be chasing.
I'll be here. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Love you all.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.